Like the little engine that could, the General Services Administration never seems to stop the process of examining the rules and regulations and policies surrounding its many acquisition efforts. It's been busy on the software procurement and several other issues lately. I caught up with Jeff Kosis, the Senior Procurement Executive at the Office of Government-Wide Policy at GSA. He told me what's cooking and how it affects government buyers and contractors.
Recently, your listeners had a chance to listen to Tiffany Hickson from FAST talking about the combination of services. You've also seen us roll out a number of things in category management. Now we're addressing the policy-making side of the equation, and we've got a host of things going on the policy front. Within the last couple of weeks, we went out with a proposal for a class deviation to change the rules around commercial software licenses, also known as end-user license agreements. The problem we were addressing was this. Many of the terms that you find in a commercial software license are things that conflict with federal law. Think, for example, if you're buying a piece of software, you click it, and then you have to accept the terms and conditions. Now, if Jeff's doing that for personal use, no problem. We're great. But if I'm doing that on behalf of the government, now I'm accepting a set of terms and conditions that often conflicts with federal law. So the net result of that was that we were having to do 100% legal review to stop and look at every license term and agreement before we could add it to our contract vehicles. So industry was telling us that sometimes that was adding many months to the process. That's not where we want to be with that type of a problem. We wanted to find a way to cut through the process, ensure that we're quickly and effectively adding new software to our schedules, to our GXR or other offerings. So we've gone out with the proposed deviation. We're in a comment period, and next month we expect to be able to go final on that to implement the deviation and thus to be much faster in adding commercial software.
Now, I remember coming into this market, it was more than 23 years ago, and at that time the GSA schedules were just factories for turning out copies of commercial software. Agencies were buying copy after copy, and I think 4 out of 5 packaged software, like Lotus and so forth, was being bought by the federal government. Amazing statistics. Why now in 2015 does this come up all of a sudden?
Well, over the years, we've just seen, of course, an explosive growth in the whole software industry. Everything we do is really governed by your phone today. So if you think about the change in technology, well, the corporate lawyers have gotten really good at protecting their companies. So there's all kinds of terms and conditions, things from automatic software renewals to controlling the forum for where you hear disputes to a series of other things. And that's great. It works really well in the commercial world. But in many cases, that's just at variance with federal law. And so that's why we had to address the issue. It's a result of the growth of the whole software industry. And as they grow more sophisticated, their own process grows more complex.
And so what are the terms and conditions that you find with commercial software that are most egregiously in conflict with federal law?
A couple of examples would be the provision for automatic renewal. You know, that's great, but there's a cost impact in an automatic renewal. From the federal government standpoint, we can't go sign up to that because we don't yet have an appropriation in place. We don't know that we're going to have money to commit to that automatic renewal. I also mentioned the change in venue. We have our Contract Disputes Act. We have a whole process for resolving any disputes, any disagreements. And when dealing with the federal government, we insist on complying with that process, not changing the court, not changing the jurisdiction, not changing arbitration, or some of the other things that you'll find in these agreements.
And of course, the Justice Department is the single agency that has legal authority over what the government does. And I imagine maybe some of those clauses tried to obligate other agencies in legal processes, which they just don't have the statutory authority to do.
Exactly. Yeah, that's totally right. But the whole software license or ULIS, that's just one piece of modernizing the whole regulatory agenda that we have underway at the moment. I'd like to talk about a couple of others.
Okay, before we do, let me just quickly ask you, what is the timetable on these standard deviations, on the class deviations, and are you getting any comments so far that look like it's a go?
We went out for a 30-day comment period. It ends early next week. Then we're expecting to be able to assess during the course of May the comments received to be able to move forward. informally, we're hearing vast agreement on the majority of the 15 terms and conditions. We're getting the sense that there may be comments on two or three of the specific provisions with another point of view. And once we get that information in, of course, we're going to take a look as part of finalizing our deviation. That's going to lead us to opening a FAR case to protect the rest of government. But we felt a need for immediate action here.
We're speaking with Jeff Kosis, the Senior Procurement Executive at the Office of Government-Wide Policy at the GSA. And you mentioned some other regulatory, statutory things you're looking at for the schedules. What are some of those?
One of the longstanding issues, and something that we've heard from federal customers and from contractors for several years, deals with what they call other direct costs. When we're adding a service to the schedule, a recognition that there may be some ancillary product needs associated with it. So after studying the issue, after hearing a number of conversations, and after last year's national dialogue sponsored by the Office of Management and Budget, we have now agreed with the Department of Defense and NASA to open a FAR case. So we now have an official case number, and we have both the civilian and DOD teams compiling a business case report. That's the start of a FAR case. And our expectation is that late this year, we'll be able to go out for public comment with a proposal for adding what we're calling order-level materials, but what most folks think of as other direct costs, and make it a part of the schedules program. We think that's a very significant improvement, which will make it much easier for federal agencies to use the GSA schedules.
Well, give me an example of how that might work. I mean, it sounds like you're trying to get at bundling, or am I off base here?
No. Say, for example, that we are doing a contract to take care of a federal building, to take care of the heating and the cooling systems and those sorts of things. You know, it's a fairly standard contract, but we don't know what specific products that we may need as part of that. You know, you're going to need to go look in and see what went wrong with the motor and how do you fix it. So there's always going to be some support products associated with a contract like that. Today, we don't have the ability to know that in advance. We never will. So what we need is an effective and easy way in the contract to accommodate those types of support products. And the rule is designed to help us fix that challenge.
So in other words, if you have a services contract, the contractor may not slip products like a filter, for example, or a set of filters or light bulbs or that kinds of thing, if it's a building maintenance contract, in with the service deal.
Right. Today, we only can do that up to the micro-purchase threshold, up to $3,000. But we recognize that for a lot of the complex service contracts, we need the ability to go have a higher dollar level, a reasonable amount of products as part of that total service solution. So that's where this business case and ultimately this FAR rule will take us.
All right. And any other new FAR cases? Looks like you've got a couple of them listed in your most recent blog.
Hand in hand with that is a case to address ordering procedures under multiple award contract. Tom, some of your listeners may remember that last year the Department of Defense issued a deviation to schedule order procedures, citing some concerns that they want greater clarity in and around the role of a contracting officer in using these contracts. We thought it was now time to air those concerns, to take them forward to the whole involved community, and to hear the different viewpoints on how do we ensure our contracting officers across government know how to effectively use schedules, GUX, and other multi-agency contracts. This rule will open up and allow for that dialogue to happen.
So in other words, it will be incumbent upon the contracting officers to do some research before using these vehicles?
Right. It's about making sure that they understand the pricing structure, that they recognize the role that GSA or whoever established the contract had played up front, and understand what's involved in using it effectively and efficiently.
All right, so there's two FAR cases. How do they play out? How do they have timelines? Are they like rulemaking? And do they have the same dynamics as a rulemaking?
Yeah, indeed, these are rulemaking. And that's why the first big step was to actually officially open the FAR case. To have gotten to that step, it means that we've had a lot of conversations with DOD, with NASA, and with the Office of Management and Budget, making sure that everyone understands the problem we're trying to solve, the reason we're trying to solve the problem, and the anticipated path forward. Then we have teams from both the civilian and the DOD side that flesh it out, that go into great detail, and that ultimately will bring back a proposed rule where we're going to invite the world to comment, to weigh in, and to ensure that the rule is clear, is effective, makes sense, and will make for better government.